February, we went to Iraq with five other preachers and one layman. And we went to Iraq to baptize a Baptist preacher, ordain him, get him started. Long story of how it all developed. Brother Matt Sexton, Clarence Sexton's son, has started an effort there. We went in August of last year and were teaching 12 Iraqis who were refugees in Amman, Jordan, so that they could prepare for the ministry and serving the Lord. Out when I got there, another preacher went from Amman down to Baghdad and gathered a group of preachers there, or young people there, and out of that group came a fellow named Ronnie George. And Ronnie had all of the requirements to be a pastor. We all came home, and Brother Lewis, who had headed our group, stayed in constant contact with Brother George and was feeding him information, and he was just absorbing it like it could not have enough. And one thing we found, and I'll try to get this as quick as I can, but one thing we found in working with Muslims, and I, for the last couple of years, have realized we better learn how to deal with Muslims because they are the fastest growing religion in the world. And one of the ways, that the most effective way for winning Muslims to Christ is not to attack Islam. Doesn't work. Their whole religion is based on attacking us, and they don't appreciate that. But if you will leave a Bible in their home, after you leave, they'll read the Bible. And every one of the 12 Iraqis that we were dealing with in Amman, Jordan, had gotten saved because someone left the Bible. They were curious. They began to read it. They saw the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ versus the weakness of Muhammad. They saw the truth of the Word of God, sought out a Christian, and got saved. And the Bible, you know, being born again, not a seed corruptible, but by the incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And that was verified. Well, in February, we went over to I'm having more mouth problems. That's not F5 on mine. It's the mouth is dead. Come on, you silly thing. All right, we'll try again. This way. There we go. All right. I'm just going to let these run, try to talk to you as they go. This was the hotel we stayed in Baghdad. All of the architecture in Baghdad, you'll see the blue and the gold. It's a beautiful city. These were our doormen, AK-47s plus pistols to protect us. This is Brother John Kelly, one of the preachers. He was killed in the ambush that took place. This is Garland Carey. He was with me as well. He was the least injured of the four of us. That's little fat me. And I'll show you what happened to me later on. This is Brother Dave Davis, and he got wounded very seriously across the back. We drove down through Baghdad on our way to Babylon. We had some time off. We were touring. I'd like to tell you we were on a spiritual mission at that point, but we were waiting to get the job done of baptizing this preacher and then get it. This building here, you can't see it very well, is stripped to the wall. Hang on. You stop. Hey. I'm telling you, you got to talk to them. If you don't, they just run all over you. Let's see if I can back up a little bit. This building right here looks like it's bombed out. I don't know how well you can see it from where you're sitting. That building was not touched by a bomb. But after we started bombing Baghdad, the Iraqi people figured, well, hey, everything's fair game. They literally stripped this building to the skeleton steel and sold it down the street from there. You'll see some of it a little later on. One of the reasons we have lost the war in Iraq, and despite all of the positive things we have done over there, we did not protect the Iraqi people. The government collapsed, and in every town, every neighborhood, the biggest bully with the most guns has taken over, and the Iraqi people themselves were safer, if you can believe this, under Saddam Hussein than they are today. Unfortunately, we should have had about three or four times more soldiers than we have to be able to put it into martial law to protect these people. But we were over not to convert Muslims. We were there to baptize Ronnie George and to ordain him to the ministry. People say, why did you go when you did? Because there was a window that was open about 6 months, and it slammed closed while we were there.
whatever was going to get done in Baghdad by American missionaries had to be done between the last shot of the major conflict and February 14th when we were ambushed. That was the beginning of this present escalation of war. And went on. Anyhow, that was just what I consider an interesting note. Let's see if we can get moving now. Okay, this is the streets in Baghdad. This is traffic. You do anything you want to do, you'd love it. It's better than Boston. If there's a medial strip and you want to make a left turn, you just go down the opposite side of the traffic and do what you got to do. If you got a traffic jam in front of you, hey, if you can't drive in our city, stay off our sidewalk. You just cut right across whatever you want to do. No law. Absolutely no law. No matter where you look, there were cars and people. This is the supermarket. This is the supermarket in Iraq. There is a thriving economy there. There are no taxes. There are no regulations of any kind. There is no government, at least there was not in February, at all. Not the least bit of authority. If you had five boxes of something, you'd sell four of them. More of it. We were on our way down to Baghdad, Babylon at this point. We had been there for a week. The logistics were being hard to be worked out. And the four of us who I showed you earlier were bored. And we said, we're only 60 miles from Baghdad. We're Baptist preachers from Babylon. Wouldn't it be great to go see Babylon while we're here? We went to the Polish embassy, which controls Babylon. They told us how to go. We hired a driver. We've been using him all week. And said, we want to go to Babylon. He said, fine, I'll take you there. Nobody told us that the road from Baghdad to Hilla is the most dangerous road in the country of Iraq. It is by the grace of Almighty God that I am here today. That's not an exaggeration. We were driving down through little towns like this on our way to Babylon. Brother John Kelly is over 6 feet tall, was sitting in the front seat. The average Iraqi looks up to me. And so they knew that he was not an Iraqi. And we don't know whether it was somebody in a town like this one as we drove through. By the way, you see, everything on that street sells tires. When you drive through Iraq, you get to a place, everybody sells lettuce. Everybody sells tires. Everybody repairs cars, and that was on the way down there. This guy repairs missiles. You can see that on the top of his plate there. We drove down. We're waving to people, taking these pictures, talking to people. Every experience we had with Iraqi people was absolutely positive. They said, please tell your government to stay here till the job is done. Please don't let them send the UN on us. You stay here. Tell Mr. Bush, stay here. Now, I don't know where Peter Jennings and the rest find their interviews, but I was in Iraq for 11 days. I had one negative experience, rather large negative experience, but one negative experience. On the way down, we got close to Babylon, And Saddam Hussein thinks he is the reincarnation of Nebuchadnezzar. And so this huge monument to Saddam Hussein was on the side of the road, all full of bullet holes, and we decided to take some pictures. Probably a very bad move, because now all six of us, or all four of us, were out of the van, and we were clearly Americans, clearly tourists, as we're taking pictures, climbing up on the monument. Again, we don't know where we were spotted and where we were targeted. We got to Babylon. They would not let us in because you needed security clearance. We left our information. We went down to the corner. This is an artificial lake that Saddam Hussein built. And that building out on the thing is just one of his palaces so that he could overlook the ancient ruins of Babylon. This was as close as we got to the city. We started back. As we were driving back, estates like this along the road. Iraq is a beautiful country that has been raped by war for 40 years. And Brother Garland Carey and I were talking about how if we'd have known in the 70s when we were trying not to get drafted to go to Vietnam that a place like Iraq existed, we'd have probably moved there. It is a beautiful country. And it's not desert like the other Arab countries are, well-watered. You just see these estates along the road, and we thought, this is great. We were following for about 10 miles, 5 to 10 miles, a caravan of military vehicles getting tankers to get oil. They turned into this refinery that you see right here on the distance. When they turned, We sped up a little bit. We were going about 20 miles an hour till then. Again, we could have been sighted. And we got to this town. And as we got out the other side of this town, I saw a car by the side of the road. And the next thing, our car looked like this. This is the van we were riding in. If you look right there, if you can see it, that's a bullet hole that went through. There's a bullet hole right back here. There's a large bullet hole right here. Then you go, okay, that's another picture of the car. This is where Brother John Kelly was sitting. That's the bullet hole where a lone bullet took his life, put him right into eternity. We were in the back seat. This is a bullet hole in the windshield that came from the opposite side of the car. That's where the shooters were. It was aimed at our driver. Had that bullet hit, I could have been one of the four guys hung from the bridge. The Army said it was absolutely an execution squad. It was a terrorist squad. The Consul of the United States said that it was a terrorist event, and this was an attempt to shoot our driver. Meanwhile, I was sitting in this seat right here, and these are not bullets that came out of the inside of the van. These are bullets that hit the inside and came right back at us. And the first shot that I got hit with, this is Brother Dave Davis, an ugly wound across his back. And then this is me. You see a little chunk of head missing right here. I was hit in the back of the head and knocked out, but sitting up through most of this thing. The other side of my head was hit as well. That's enough of me. But what happened was one car came up alongside of us and shot single shot through the van, hoping to stop the driver. A second car came up alongside of us and raked the car at least four times with an AK-47, just blowing machine gun fire through the thing. The other two fellows in the back were on the floor. I was knocked out sitting up, and all of a sudden realized, hey, they're shooting at us. And they said, yes, idiot, get down. And I got down, but I'd already been hit by that. Was hit again in my arm and my hand, and laid on the seat. And news media asked me, how did your faith help you at that point? Were you praying special prayer? I'll be honest, and this is going to sound melodramatic, but it's the absolute truth. I was shot when I was 16 years old. I took a shot straight into the chest. I knew what it felt like to be hit by a direct shot. I knew I had not yet received that shot, and even though I was bleeding, had knew that the back of my head had been shot, had no idea how bad, I knew that I had not yet been hit directly. And I was waiting for the one that was going to take me to heaven. There wasn't anything else to do. Just nothing else to do. Our driver, miraculously a Muslim, cut the car into oncoming traffic and avoided the cars coming at us. It was better than an L.A. street chase. And somehow he got distance between us and the two cars that were trying to kill us. And he got ahead, and then when the shooting stopped, he looked over, and Brother Kelly was already dead beside him, never knew what happened. And the three of us in the back were laying on the floor. He looked around, he saw no one, and he started crying, "Oh God, oh God." And we said, "Oh, hey, we're back here. We're alive. Get us out of here." And he took us to a Muslim hospital, or an Iraqi hospital that looked like something out of the Tarzan movie. It was a white wall around the outside, several buildings, x-ray in one place and doctors in another. The doctor looked at me, ripped a piece of envelope, and wrote instructions to the x-ray technician. They put me in a wheelchair and started to move me out of the building where everybody else was. I had no idea. No one spoke English. I didn't know whether we were going to a firing squad or what. And, folks, I want to tell you something. Fella from the 82nd Airborne walked in while I was laying face down on a stretcher. Now, I get a little emotional on this one. And he said, "Sir, we're here. You're going to be all right." Out of the corner of my eye, saw the stars and stripes. I said, "Yeah. Yeah, we're," for the first time in over an hour, I felt safe. They started asking us what went on. We wouldn't tell. They said, "What's the matter?" We said, we don't know who these people are. We just got shot. We don't know who they are. We're not saying a word. So they threw a military perimeter around us. Our kids, I want to tell you, we had some great kids over there. And I have no criticism for our soldiers. We had some great kids. They threw a military perimeter around us. They protected us. They then took us and took us to a battalion aid station. As it would be, while they were working on me, and Dave Davis was next to me, we're both laying in a stretcher and they're working on us, we're talking to the people who are out there. The chaplain walked in. He was saved. Imagine that, military chaplain who was a Christian. And he prayed with us. And one of the kids who was there, one of the soldiers, was from a church that I preach in often in Vermont. I don't know, 3,000, 6,000 miles from home. God in His providence. They took us to the Green Zone from there, and there we were taken care of by the military, and we were all released. Brother Kelly was brought home. He's an ex-Marine. He was brought home by the military and received a good burial. You say, why were you there? Well, this church here was a Southern Baptist church. It was the only place we could baptize Brother Ronnie George, his wife, and that's the pastor of the church there, but there was another man and his wife. The baptistry, all they did was take plexiglass and fill the entrance of their church. They glued it together. It was quite exciting because as soon as we started filling it up, it exploded into the church. And so Brother Bob Lewis baptized the preacher. That's Brother Ronnie George being baptized in water that was about 12 inches deep. And the next day, we held an ordination. Folks, this congregation right here came with one day's notice that Brother Ronnie George was going to be baptized. That's the kind of influence this fella had stirred up in just 6 months of being saved, getting everything getting right, and announcing his call to preach. These people came from everywhere to be a part of it. And right there is the reason why we were in Iraq. Now, we weren't shot because we were missionaries. We were ambushed because we were stupid. We weren't on a valiant mission the day that we were hit. We were sightseeing. But God still had a plan. When I got home, and that's the end of the pictures I have, but when I got home, Fox News was waiting in my living room to talk to me. My daughter had given birth on February 10th, and we were shot on February 14th, and Fox News wanted to see what I looked like when I first saw my grandbaby. The next day, from 9 o'clock in the morning till 7:30 at night, every major news affiliate in the city of Boston, newspaper, radio, television, was in my room, or in my living room, interviewing us about what was going on. The next morning, Fox News, ABC, and NBC, filmed our entire church service, and when I gave the invitation, the Fox News fella was bawling his eyes out. He wouldn't get saved. He was laughed out of church. He was deeply affected, wouldn't get saved. And in the weeks after that, my folks gave out over 3,000 tracts, hit 3,000 doors in about 4 weeks. Now, why does God do what He does? Who was it said about Job? If you find out why Christians suffer, why God wrote Job, He didn't give an answer. I don't know why Brother John Kelly went home to heaven and I didn't. Brother John had given me, he offered me the seat. I was the senior man. He said, you want to sit up front? I said, no, I got little legs. I'll sit back here. And before I'd left, my people said to me, preacher, it's dangerous over there. Aren't you afraid to get killed? And I said, hey, you cannot threaten me with heaven. I believe the book. Somebody said about the home security officer. You know what Office of Home Security is in Russian? This is not a lie. KGB. You got to be careful. I'm not real thrilled about what's going on. I have said to my people, I would rather have a terrorist walk up to me and blow me to heaven than I would to have my constitutional rights taken away as an American citizen. And they think I'm crazy. They really did. They thought I was crazy to go. They think I'm crazy now. About a third of my church left because they're afraid I'll do it again. The news media said to me, and I'll close with this, Brother Wade, but the news media, every one of them said to me, well, you said you believe it was God's will for you to go. What if you had the opportunity to go again, even though you were shot at, almost killed, there, would you go again? The answer is, sure, if it was God's will. Why? Because there are 500 million Arabs in the world. It is the single most neglected people on the face of the earth. We have not taken the gospel. We have been afraid of Islam since the Inquisition. And we have not effectively ministered to those people. We need to pray about and get busy about. I came home and I realized, as I always knew, that getting people saved was the only thing it's all about. Now, people get saved when we give them the Word of God. And I believe that what we held in our hands is the accurately translated, preserved Word of God. We had the Van Dyke edition of the Arabic Bible, very close in most places. There's a few errors in it. But giving those Bibles and getting Bibles, in the time I was there, 40,000 Bibles were put into Iraqi hands by Iraqi pastors and different people. One of the fellows that was in Jordan was ratted out. They told the authorities that he was a Muslim that got saved. It is a death penalty to convert. He had to run. He's in South Africa right now. And when we got over into Iraq, CNN, bless their pointed heads, announced that we were evangelists, which means that we were there to convert Muslims. They almost got us killed again. We had to go into hiding for 3 days, thanks to CNN. But God is in this thing. There's a church in Baghdad today, pastored by Pastor Ronnie George. They've been in business since about Easter. They're running 30 adults and some kids, and the other churches are saying, how are you getting them without giving something away? Well, he's giving it away. It's right here. That's what we were doing in Iraq. I appreciate so many of you told me you prayed for us, and we're thrilled that you were. We were inches from eternity, but for some reason, God saw fit to let us continue.